Blog Talk Radio.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Body of Christ Church. And welcome to Repentance is the Key. Is the Key.
Police even that the blood in the church hall. Can't forget about my friends in the dance hall. Giant love me, have a great peace of mind. And at this me want me dance, I'll friend them to find. Me go fast and pray, go fast and pray till Christ that I may friend them fine. See she I go fast and pray, go fast and pray until the devil get thee behind. Me, fast and pray, go fast and pray till Christ that I may friend them fine. See she I go fast and pray, go fast and pray.
The dread of the control, international control, and throughout the world, universal field marshal, no partial, who played the white selection without objection.
Another episode of Repentance is the Key. I'm your host, Brother Abaja, and this evening we're going to do things a little bit different. You know, here it is. We're at the end of the so-called November midterm elections in 2014, and, you know, a lot of offices have been filled, a lot of positions have changed. The Republicans came in real big this time around. You got people, you know, the whole go out there, rock the vote, and people going out to vote and everything. So, you know, people are electing their leaders, okay, to represent them, you know, their congressmen, their House of Representatives, and governors, and things of that nature. But I want to take some time this evening to focus on our spiritual leaders, okay? It actually, just kind of reading over some scriptures, and I was looking at some of the things that our so-called spiritual leaders were doing back in the day. And it's kind of ironic how, you know, things have not changed as far as what our so-called, you know, proclaimed spiritual leaders, what direction they're actually leading the people in versus what the word of God says in the direction they're supposed to lead them in. And the example of Christ that was set in the scriptures versus the example that our so-called, a lot of our so-called spiritual leaders are leading us in. So this evening we want to, you know, go into the scriptures and see just what some of those things were. And actually, I'm going to start in the book of St. John this evening. And really, I'm going to focus on how our spiritual leaders reacted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ resurrecting Lazarus and how they dealt with that situation. And ironically, it's not much different today. But let's get into the scriptures real quick. So we're just going to jump right in with both feet. And I'm going to start in the book of St. John, chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 40. And just to kind of give you bring people up to speed, you know, here it is that Jesus was in a town near to where Lazarus was, I believe it was Bethany. And, you know, the people were telling him that, you know, Lazarus is sick. And he was close enough to where, you know, people were saying, listen, had you gotten here, he might not have died. And the people were murmuring against the Lord. Because, you know, Lazarus was beloved, and it's like, listen, if you was here, you could have saved him. As always, the Lord has, you know, greater plans in store. And the Lord Jesus told the disciples, listen, y'all are about to see the glory of God here today. So that was the bigger mission of the Lord. So I'm going to start in the book of St. John, chapter 11. And let's start at verse 41. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So this is one of the many, many miracles that the Lord had performed to make the people believe. But yet and still, some of those so-called spiritual leaders did not want to believe. Couldn't refute the evidence of the miracles that the Lord performed, but they still were hell-bent on maintaining the status quo. But let's read on. Verse 43, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So Lazarus was dead. When you read back a few verses, Lazarus had already been in the grave already 4 days. And the people were like, what do you mean? It's probably our body has already begun to stink. What do you mean he's talking about he's sleeper? We're going to raise him from the dead. But Lazarus walked out. Verse 45, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. So that just debunks that whole lie about, the Jews rejected him. No, not all of the Jews. So the Jews rejected him. Okay, you had many of our people that were there that followed him and believed on him. It wasn't just the so-called 12 disciples. Okay, and even later, after the Lord had resurrected and ascended, some of those people, the very same leaders, they actually repented as well. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Verse 46. It says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, see, this brings us to the crux of this evening's show. So the people had witnessed what had happened with the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. And they went and told the Pharisees. And you have to understand, you had the different sects of our leaders that were there at that time. You had the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and just different groups with different interests. Same way you do today. Okay. And what you have to also understand is that by the time that we were under the Roman rule, that a lot of the people in those offices were more or less elected or placed there by our captors. In this day and time, it'd be the Roman Empire, okay? And a lot of that really started under the Greek captivity, and you can read about that history in 1st and 2nd Maccabees, where it goes into it showing you how you had wicked men of Israel that were campaigning to be the so-called high priest or to have those positions when the Lord already set it up in his commandments how that was going to go down. So the destruction always comes from the inside out. There's always wicked people amongst us that want to tear us down and have their own push forth Satan's agenda rather than stand for what the Heavenly Father stood for and what he commanded us to do. But anyway, so you had some of them that went and told the Pharisees what things Jesus had done. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and counseled and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." So here it is. They're more worried about the people following the Lord. Now, mind you, some of these people actually knew the prophecies of the scriptures. They knew that the Messiah was coming, but yet and still, they're worried about the people following the Messiah, like there was something wrong. Showing you that a lot of our so-called leaders, just like they were back then, even to this day, they want to hold to their agenda. They don't want the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth. Because why? They're going to wind up being out of a job. And you say, well, how so? If you look at just the gospel of repentance that Jesus taught, as far as the level of regard we're supposed to have for each other, you look at how a man is supposed to conduct himself. Okay, this doesn't take anybody going out and voting and passing laws and pushing forth legislature and campaigning and polling and all of that. When you look at just the bare necessities that the Lord gave us about thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, about how a man is supposed to conduct himself as far as, number one, working, as far as being the spiritual leader of his household, number one, as far as not being a whoremonger or an adulterer. When you look at how our women and our sisters are in that same manner, not being a whore, not being a fornicator, not being an adulteress, about us raising our children in the commandments, that's where the family structure and the discipline is going to come from. People want to talk about a grassroots effort. This is your grassroots right here, the example of Christ. The Bible is right there in your house. But you listen to most of our leaders, they don't want to deal with Christ. They want to deal with economical empowerment. They want to deal with education. And you won't ever hear us say on any of the shows on the Body of Christ Radio Network that those things are just futile. They have their place. Education has its place. Finances and being financially adept, it has its place. But our leaders want those things to take the place of the foundation of Jesus Christ, and they want those things to be our salvation. They want their agenda to be set forth so that they can do what they want to do. Because, see, if Jesus Christ is our foundation, we can't be a fornicator. If Jesus Christ is our foundation, we can't be an adulterer. We can't embezzle and steal money. Okay? We can't blackmail people. All of the things and all of the so-called little scandals that you see going on. We can't go out and be champion the cause of the baby daddies and the baby mamas. That's not what repentance is about. Repentance is about turning from those things and following the example of Christ. That's how we get ourselves together. But let's read on. Because they said, what if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. So they were like, listen, if these people start following him, the government is going to come in and shut us down and kill all of us. But that still happened in 70 AD when Rome besieged Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. It still happened. But let's read on, verse 49, because here's something very important, because you're going to find out, even just like back then, even to this day, a lot of our so-called leaders, they know what the truth is. They know what are the things that are going to solve the so-called problems and plights of the people. But they're not going to lift their finger. They're not going to teach it. Why? Because then they're going to be out of a job. Their job is to uphold this institution of wickedness. I'm not talking about the so-called government that we're under right now. Their job is to help uphold the institution and to keep our people in darkness. Let's read on, 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. So here you have one amongst them. He's like, listen, y'all talking about killing this man and doing all this other stuff. Listen, y'all don't understand. So let's read on. He said, says, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Because, see, he knew and understood the prophecies of the scriptures about how the Lord was going to send someone to sacrifice themselves for the children of Israel so that we could be joined back to the Heavenly Father. He knew that. And now what? He's letting his peers know, listen, you don't understand or consider that it's expedient for us. The rest of us, we don't just talk about the people there in front of him. He's talking about what? Everyone, the whole nation. He says that one man should die for the people and the whole nation perish not. I'm going to read 51. It says, and this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Now, it's kind of unique and odd. He just kept saying, you know, that nation, okay? How he should not die for that nation, or how he should die for that nation, rather. Because when you read through the Old Testament, and I will touch on some of that this evening, how it goes into how, you know, the children of Israel would go into captivity, how we would read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you see all of the curses that would befall the children of Israel and how we were going to go into captivity on cargo slave ships, how a lot of the plights that you see among people of color, okay, so-called minorities, that was a mirror image of a lot of the curses that you read in the scriptures about the mothers having hatred for the children, the mother having hatred for the father leaving his children, about the curse being the basket in the store, how we were always going to be broke, how we were always going to be in fear for our lives, about how the iron was going to be put upon our necks. All those things are in the scriptures. But I bet you your leaders won't teach you that. Why? Because in us understanding who we are as a people, that's going to cause us to ask the question, well, what are we supposed to be doing? Because all we have known, we've just been a color out of a crayon box, or depending on what decade it is, choose and pick a name. Let's read on. I'm going to read verse 53. And it says, from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now, we all know that, you know, that this is how basically things played out so that the prophecies could be fulfilled. But yet and still, you see a lot of those people that were there and the mentality that they had, they were dealing with the spirit of Satan. And they weren't dealing with the prophecies of the Lord coming to reconcile us back to the Father through him, through his death. So, and just to show you how crazy that they were, I'm going to jump ahead to St. John chapter 12, okay, because this was roughly about 6 days or so before the Passover. And I'm going to jump to St. John 12 and 10. So the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, you guys are off the hook. 12 and 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted, go up a few, what the Lord was dealing with them in the scriptures. Here is verse 9. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. So this is when the Lord was coming to Jerusalem for the Passover. It says, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So the word got around quick. You know, it's a old proverb talking about the grapevine was started in Israel. But, you know, word got around that, hey, Lazarus was dead 4 days, and now he's up walking around like nothing happened. So here it is, the Passover, where the Israelites were commanded to come to Jerusalem. So you had people that were coming and said, yeah, what about this Jesus guy? Yeah, we know about him. So I want to see Lazarus. Okay. So they were there to see Lazarus also. So verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him Many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So here it is. You have those that were supposed to be upholding the so-called law. They were conspiring to commit murder on a man, because this was the man that the Lord rose from the dead, and the people were believing on Jesus because of that miracle. And you'll see a similar thing. Okay. They're not going around killing people per se, but you have them settling for pushing agendas dealing with abortion. You have them pushing agendas that are what? Destroying the people. They're not going to set forth anything moral or right according to as it is written out of the scriptures. They're not going to stand for those agendas because those agendas don't fit with the model. That's not what's going to get them elected. That's what's not going to fill up their churches. Because, yeah, the leaders of our people are off the hook, but what about our people? Because that leads me to the scripture of this evening, of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16. And I'm going to read that real quick. This is the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16. It says, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." So it's like, wait a minute. What do you mean the leaders of this people cause them to err? When you read in the scriptures, the Lord set up the leaders of our people to, number one, be the examples of keeping his commandments, of adhering to his law, statutes, and commandments, and teaching that to the people. That's what he raised them up for. That's what he raised up Isaiah for. That's what he raised up Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the way down the line. The wicked of our people that were leading us, they caused our people to go wrong. They cause our people to err, to error. And it says that they that are led of them are destroyed. Meaning the ones of our people that follow those bad examples, the ones of our people that follow those lies and deceit, thinking that that's going to be our salvation. Because you have a lot of people, they think that voting is going to be our salvation. That's not going to do you any good when our household is out of order. That's not going to govern a man being a fornicator, a woman being an adulteress. It's not going to govern those things. Those things have to start at home with the individual. But no, money was financial. Being financially sound is our salvation. That is a problem to all of the that we have in the black community. No, it's not. It has its place, but that is not the foundation. But that's what they teach. But let's read verse 17. The Lord says, "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." So because our people want to follow the doctrines and traditions of men, the Lord said that he was going to have no joy in our young men. And you can see that now. Because even to this day, this very hour, you still got that whole litigation and stuff going on with the Michael Brown case in Ferguson, Missouri. A few years back, we had no joy in our young men when that young man, Trayvon Martin, got put to death. And those are just the high-profile cases. We ain't talking about the murders in Detroit, Chicago, pick and choose any other city. What's that city in Tennessee? Pick a ghetto, pick a slum. The Lord said that he was going to have no joy in our young men. That's why you see us filling up the jailhouses and being murdered and dying in the streets, because our leaders are not teaching us the commandments of the Lord. They're not teaching us the things that we can do that doesn't take money, that doesn't take electing someone into office, and that doesn't take putting money into a collection plate for a pimping preacher to keep you from paying your rent. That's why the Lord said he's not going to have any joy in our young men. Neither is he going to show mercy on the fatherless. Why? He says, "For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer." We'll sit back and say, "Well, I don't want to judge. Only God can judge me." But then, what are we doing? We're breaking the Lord's commandments. Those are some of the sayings that our people come up with. A bunch of hypocrites and evildoers. Here it is. You got preachers sleeping with women in the congregation, spreading AIDS. Read some of these articles of what some of these so-called spiritual leaders are doing, and we sit back and wonder why our community is in such disarray. And he said that what? In every mouth speaketh folly. Oh, well, you can do what you want to do. Oh, well, foolish doctrine that they teach in a lot of churches. Once saved, always saved. You will never read that in the scriptures. The Lord says what? If you keep my commandments. Not I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior and you just go on to glory. It doesn't work like that. But that's some of the folly that they speak. When you read in the book of St. John, the 8th chapter, about that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, those people, they condemned her to death. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get that real quick. Let's get that. Because a lot of people want to talk about, nah, you can't judge. You can't judge. You got to understand there's a difference between correction and judgment. There's a difference between correcting someone, saying, look, this is what the word of the Lord says, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. What you are doing is wrong, according to the word of the Lord. There's a difference between that and you should burn in hell. Correction and condemnation are two different things. But I don't want to judge. Yeah, we don't want to tell nobody else what they're doing wrong because we don't want to call any attention to the wickedness that we're doing. That's what that agenda is about. Listen, I'm not going to say nothing if you don't say nothing. Oh, well. Let's jump in real quick. St. John chapter 8. It says, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, and I'm in St. John 8 and 1. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So they caught this woman in the very act. First of all, when you go back and read about what Moses in the law said about them being stoned to death, that was true. That was the judgment for being an adulterer. As a matter of fact, let me read that. Let me get that real quick. This is Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. I'm just going to go straight to the point. Leviticus 20 and 10. It says, and a man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. So my question is, where was the adulterer? Okay, why did they only bring the woman before the Lord if it was such an offense? Where was the man? Unless they already put him to death, but it doesn't say. But let's read on. I'm going back to St. John. So we just read out of Leviticus 20 and 10 about the judgment for committing adultery. And this is what they're asking the Lord about this woman who was caught in the very act. Okay, it wasn't conjecture. It wasn't something that was made up. It says they caught her in the very act. And she was worthy of the judgment of being stoned to death. Okay. So they asked the Lord, what do you say? He just ignored them. He was like, okay, whatever. So verse 7, it says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, see, this is where everybody stops. They don't read any further. They close the Bible, and then they go off on this tirade about he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Basically, he who hasn't done anything wrong, let him condemn someone else to the same judgment that they're trying to put forth on someone else. And that's where they stop. They will close the Bible and won't open it no more.
He who is without sin, he who is without sin, judge not that ye be not judged.
But they don't ever read down. They never, ever read down. Anybody that's hearing this broadcast, if you go to church on Sunday, watch your preacher. If he reads anything, if he reads from this chapter and verse, I guarantee you most of them will not read down further. They want to stop at he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They don't want to deal with correction. It ain't about, and people misunderstand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about correction. That's what repentance is. He had to tell his disciples, James and John, they wanted to rain down fire from heaven and destroy the whole city because they spoke against the Lord. And he told them straight, you don't know what kind of spirit you're dealing with. He said, I came not to destroy men's lives. So it ain't about fire and brimstone preaching. Is there going to be a judgment? Oh, you bet. There is going to be a judgment. But right now is the time for repentance, meaning that when we hear these things, when we find out the things that we're doing wrong, according to the word of God, when we find those things out, we read and we understand, you know what, I need to stop doing that, then that's what we're supposed to do. And any so-called preacher, pastor, or whatever, whomever, that's not teaching according to the word of God, he's a blasphemer. And the Lord is going to deal with him or her unless they repent. But let's go back. I'm still in St. John, the 8th chapter. So I stopped at verse, I'm going to read verse 7 again. So it says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and rolled in the ground. But let's read on. Because this is where, again, like I said, this is where most of the time the Bible is going to close. And this, and the so-called blabbergasts and whatever person in the pulpit, they just going to go on a tirade about he who is without sin as the collection plate passes around. Let's read on. Verse 9. And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So they might even read this verse. See? See, they was convicted about some of the stuff they doing. So how are you going to point out what somebody else doing wrong when you doing dirt? Basically trying to diffuse the whole thing about us being able to correct each other according to the word of God. They want to diffuse that. We don't want you to correct anybody. We don't want you to call out what somebody else is doing. We don't want repentance to go forth. We want people to stay in the midst of their sin so they can continue to feed my pockets. Let's keep reading. So verse 10. So it's just the Lord and the woman left alone. So verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? That's an important question. He asked her, he says, where are these people that are accusing you of this sin that you just committed? Has no man condemned thee? See, all of the people that were condemning her to the judgment of death, they were gone. Why? Because they themselves were doing things worthy of death, just hadn't got caught yet. They themselves were guilty of sin. But the key word here is condemnation. The key word here is being judged worthy of being put to death. That's what that condemnation means. And it wasn't about whether it was right or wrong. We're dealing with the condemnation because that's what the Lord asked her directly. Have no man condemned thee to be worthy of death. But let's read on. Verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, they will never read this verse. A lot of them will never read this verse because what? He says that what? Or if they do, they're going to stop halfway. Neither do I condemn thee. But they're going to brush over the last part. Because, again, when the Lord says, neither do I condemn thee, that's just the first part. He said, listen, even though you did this very act that according to the law is worthy for you to be put to death and die, a horrible death, guess what? I don't condemn you. He had that power from the Heavenly Father on high. He said, neither do I condemn thee, but he told us something else. He said, go and sin no more. See, that's repentance. That's the correction. And that's the one thing that a lot of our people don't want to deal with. A lot of people, period. Okay? A lot of people, period, don't want to deal with this aspect of repentance. They want to be taught smooth things, as the scriptures say. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get that real quick before I close up here. A lot of people, they don't want to deal with repentance. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. And let's see, make sure I check on some things here. And go to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. Let's see where I start at. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. And it says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever. And what are those things that are written of that he spoke Isaiah, that he spoke to Isaiah? Right here in these scriptures. This is the book that is written in, and this is the book that's going to stand forever and ever. This is where it's noted. But what did he tell Isaiah to note? What did he tell him to write? Verse 9. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Because you got a lot of things that people that are in the law, where the Lord said that what? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy but to fulfill. So see, the Lord fulfilled it all. Okay, so the Lord didn't commit adultery. Does that mean it's, that it, that we will be deemed blameless in the sight of God by a man cheating on his woman or a woman cheating on her husband? Some people, most people would say no. But wait a minute, Christ fulfilled the law. We don't have to keep it anymore. See, people don't even understand what they're reading and what they're hearing because they want to open the Bible up and read it for themselves. And a lot of us, if we want to go, if we go and ask the preacher a question about, well, this is what the Bible says. Well, you know, it's written allegorically, and then he goes off on a tangent instead of teaching the people the word as it is written, giving that edification through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Won't do it. Won't have a church. So I'm still in Isaiah 30 and 9. It says that what? This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And that's exactly what they've always done. They don't want the prophets to prophesy to them the right things to do according to the word of the Lord. They want them to prophesy unto them smooth things and prophesy deceits. You know what, baby? Guess what? God made you the way that you are, and you can come to the Lord as you are, and you ain't got to change. What scripture is that? This ain't about hate. This is about repentance and righteousness according to the word of God. But they will twist it. They will condemn the people to death instead of showing them the justice and the mercy and the faith that the Lord said they were supposed to be showing. It ain't about fire and brimstone. It's about saving people's lives, man. It's about showing them the example and the love of Christ about how to get out of those things. First of all, showing them Jesus Christ and like, listen, this is what the Lord was about. Secondly, these are the things that he stood for, and this is what we have to do to get into the, fall into the good graces of the Heavenly Father in Christ. It ain't about condemnation. Is there going to, again, is there going to be a judgment? You doggone right, it's going to be a judgment. Lest we repent. And that's the message. But verse 11, it says that what? They want to cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They don't want to preach Jesus Christ as it is written. They don't want to hear that according to the Bible that committing adultery is wrong. Being a fornicator is wrong. All of the baby daddy and baby mama drama ain't about being black. That's about being wicked. But, oh, we're going to take your card. You ain't black enough. That ain't hood enough. We're going to take your hood pass. We need to have our so-called wicked pass, a hood pass revoked. And then we want to sit back and wonder, oh, it's the white man. Oh, it ain't no jobs. Oh, it ain't this, that, and the other. No, the Lord said he was going to punish us for the foolishness that we was doing and the wickedness that we was doing. But that's not what our people want. So, just in closing, we have to bring some things to the light, but we're going to go out on a good note. And this is, again, going back to some of the, a lot of these so-called spiritual leaders don't want to deal with. This is the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 12. And it says that, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Because the duty of our leaders, our spiritual leaders, they're supposed to teach us how to conquer sin through the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the thing that we're supposed to be freed from. That's the truth that's supposed to set us free, not to be free from the law. So Jesus nailed it to the cross. He nailed that death to the cross. That same condemnation that woman we read about in St. John, the 8th chapter, that's what he nailed to his cross when he gave his life for us. Not for her to go out and continue to be an adulterer. That's why he said, go and sin no more. And the same thing that Paul is preaching here, Romans 6 and 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Because, see, without the strength and the Spirit of Jesus Christ on us, sin is our ruler. Sin is what works in the members of our flesh. And this is why you have people write hundreds of thousands of books, have seminars and all this other crap, trying to figure out, well, why does a man cheat on a woman? Or why does a woman cheat on her man? Well, you know, men, you know, we're taught that, you know, we're supposed to go out and conquer. And we actually believe that crap. We actually believe that as an excuse or some type of so-called scientific explanation. You know, it's just the evolution. Men have always conquered, you know, and that same, you know, spirit is in men today. You know, back in slavery, you know, it was one man, one buck that used to go around and used to, you know, impregnate the women and make all the suckers on the plantation. The scripture said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The Spirit of Jesus Christ don't give a doggone about a man going out conquering. We're supposed to conquer the lust that's in our flesh through his Spirit. That's what we're supposed to conquer. Our people don't want to hear that. Our women want to hear, you know what? Baby, if you got it, flaunt it. You can go out and if you want to sleep with as many men as you want to, men have been doing it for ages, then daggone it, more power to you. You want to walk around in the street with half your behind hanging out and your boobs hanging out, that's fine. Do you, baby, do you. But I can't help myself. I can't help myself. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should not obey the lust and the lust in the, of it thereof. See, these are the things that our leaders are supposed to teach us. You're not supposed to be a baby mama. You're supposed to be a wife and a mother. You're not supposed to be a baby daddy. You're supposed to be a husband and a father. But that's not marketable. That's not hip. It's not pop. We don't want to hear that. That's not going to make me popular. 13. It says what? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So that whole come as you are, stay as you are doctrine, that's a doctrine of the devil. You won't read that in the scriptures. The whole thing, well, see, we're spiritual. You know, we draw our energy from the universe, and that's all the doctrines of Satan. The Lord told us, number one, to not let that sin to allow it to reign in our mortal bodies. But who's supposed to reign in our mortal bodies? The Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The scripture says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. A woman's not supposed to be a prostitute. A man's not supposed to be a pimp. We're not supposed to be baby mamas and baby daddies. We're not supposed to be murderers. We're not supposed to be embezzlers. We're not supposed to be brawlers and strikers and drunkards and things of that nature. And mind you, these are all of the things, a lot of the things that the so-called black community upholds as being the authentication of being black. We're not supposed to eat those abominations. We're supposed to observe the dietary laws in the Bible. Our people said, what? Speak to us speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. So lest we repent, it goes right back to us falling under the latter part of the title of today's show, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Because that's the ultimate judgment that we're all going to receive, lest we repent. So I hope that all of you listeners have received some type of edification. We want to give all praise and thanks to the Heavenly Father in Christ for the ability to preach His holy word so that His name only may be glorified, because we're just vessels that are trying to make ourselves meet for the Master's use. So with that, I want to give all praise and thanks and say shalom.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
If you've enjoyed today's program, join us next week for another installment of Repentance is the Key, airing every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit us on our website, www.thebocc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Once again, that address is www.thebocc.com and www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Geico presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, 2 self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.